And now let's turn to another part of the world, West Africa. Joining us by phone from Accra, Ghana, is NPR's West Africa correspondent, Ophébia Quist-Arkton. Ophébia, hello.
Greetings from Ghana.
So since you're in Ghana, let's start there with an arrest that made headlines. Two British teenage girls accused of trying to smuggle something like 13 pounds of cocaine as they waited to board their plane to Britain. What's going on there?
Well, we're told that these two 16-year-old British teenagers, one of Nigerian origin, one of Cypriot origin, they were duped by apparently a Ghanaian man in London, where they came from, and two here, who asked them to carry two laptop bags, but not with laptop computers in them. Apparently, this $600,000 worth of cocaine stuffed in a false compartment. They were told that they were carrying computer bags, and they have been appearing in court. And Ghana is fighting drug trafficking and drug abuse. And although they are minors, apparently anything between 3 to 10 years in jail if they're found guilty. But the process is in court. Those are the charges they're facing, drug trafficking.
What do you think is it that's so eye-popping about this case? Is it the fact that they're so young, or is it the amount, or is this indicative of a bigger concern about, is there a concern that West Africa is becoming a drug trafficking conduit or major drug trafficking route?
Michelle, it's all those points you've mentioned. Let's start first with this actual case in Ghana. The fact that the girls are so young, 16-year-olds, yes, has caught the attention of the Ghanaian public and, of course, the public in Britain and abroad. And the fact that Ghana is being used as a transit point for the drug trade between Latin America. We're told that it's these Latin American drug cartels that are using West Africa as a hub en route to Europe, because Europe is now the destination of choice, because there are more and more cocaine users in Europe, and drug traffickers are getting much more money in Europe than they are in the United States, which was the traditional destination. And the fact that the policing of borders in West Africa, and very small countries in this region with very porous borders and a huge coastline along the Gulf of Guinea. So you've got Ghana as one example. Further west, you have Senegal, where huge drug stashes have been found, Mauritania across the border from Senegal. But the weakest link in this whole West Africa region is Guinea-Bissau, which is a former Portuguese colony that doesn't get into the news very much, but that experts are now saying has become virtually a narco state, because policing, security is so weak and so poor that the drug barons from Latin America are having free reign. And also it's a collection of little islands, some of them not inhabited, ideal locations for dropping off drugs for a shipment onto Europe.
Is there a fear that the narco traffickers will infiltrate the government in the way that seems to be the case in parts of Latin America?
It's not a fear. It's a reality, says the UN chap who's in charge of trying to stop drug trafficking in the region. The fact that not only apparently the state authorities in Guinea-Bissau, but also the security forces, the army, the police, have been infiltrated, and that big guns are taking money. Some people are saying there is no proof, but apparently a huge cache of cocaine that the police have actually met, because there are some people in Guinea-Bissau who are trying to fight the drug trade, had been found, and then suddenly it disappeared. A very senior person in government said he had ordered it to be destroyed, but apparently there's no evidence that it's been destroyed.
Wow, very worrisome. Let's switch gears now and look ahead to the Sierra Leone presidential runoff scheduled for early September. You know, obviously this country has been through tremendous turmoil, 10 years of civil war. But is it a hopeful sign that elections are being held at all, Ophébia?
Oh, well, of course it is. I mean, we covered the war in Sierra Leone and across the border in Liberia. And as you know, the former Liberian president, Charles Taylor, is actually facing trial for war crimes charges for his alleged role in the war in Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone did actually hold elections 5 years ago, but they were organized by the United Nations. It had a huge peacekeeping force post-war. But these are the first elections that the Sierra Leoneans themselves have organized. And everybody says that their election commissioner, Christiana Thorpe, has been absolutely marvelous. She's a former nun, apparently totally rigorous, and she has made sure that the elections have been well held, even though the run-up to the elections and the campaign was a little bitter. But, I mean, that happens all over this region, the fact that people are jockeying for power and position because the president, the outgoing president, Amitijan Kaba, can no longer stand. He has had his constitutional 2 terms. So whoever comes in as the new president of post-war Sierra Leone is fresh blood in a way, whether it's the outgoing vice president who's standing, Solomon Berewa, or Ernest Bai Koroma, who seems to have won the first round.
I understand. So as I understand that Koroma, the opposition candidate, seems to be in the lead. Is that about right?
That's right. But he didn't get what he needed to win outright. So that's why we're going to a second round runoff. So we're going to have to see if this stacks up to a winning position when they go for the second round. But Sierra Leone, like Liberia, post-war countries, not only do they need to rebuild, reconstruct, and of course reconciliation being the key element because they fought such bitter civil wars, but they are countries that are potentially hugely rich, smallish populations, smallish countries, but their riches, natural resources, diamonds, minerals, etc., have been squandered and have fueled the very conflict that has brought these countries to the brink. So all Sierra Leoneans are hoping that this is really a new chapter in their lives.
All right, great. And before we go, Ophibia, I wanted to ask about a story that from Nigeria, 18 men in northern Nigeria charged with indecent dressing or cross-dressing. Now, they were arrested in a hotel room. Apparently, there was even some street demonstrations about this case because there was a concern that the authorities were being too lenient. I must be a cultural thing, but I find this most puzzling. Why were they arrested for something they were doing in a hotel room? And why were there demonstrations when some of the men were released?
Michelle, this is a huge issue, the issue of transvestite homosexuality. What many Africans, and still today, even in democratic Africa, people consider abnormal behavior. Homosexuality is still illegal on the statute books of many countries. And in Nigeria, which is as much a Muslim country as it is a Christian country, it's 50-50%. And this was in the northern Muslim part of the country. This is seen as aberrant behavior. The fact that men were gathering together, wearing women's clothes, and we're told apparently there was some sort of marriage ceremony about to happen. But not only the government of Nigeria, but also many Nigerians see it as the sort of behavior that corrupts the youth. But you can transpose the situation in Nigeria to here in Ghana, to you name any country in this region, and still it is not accepted. Apart from South Africa, I think that's probably the exception in Africa, being gay openly, especially two men rather than lesbianism and two women, is completely taboo. Although all countries have their homosexual groups, have gay activists who are saying, this is how we are. We want you to accept it. But people are saying, no, they need help. They need to be counseled, to change. And it's a huge debate all over Africa. And this case in Nigeria, I think, is just, highlighting the issue of Africans pretending something is not happening, pretending that homosexuality is for white people, comes from the West, they've come to corrupt us, and is not being accepted, although the reality is that there are homosexuals living homosexual lives on this continent.
Well, thank you for that update, Ophibia.
Always a pleasure.
Ophibia Quist-Arkton is NPR's West Africa correspondent. She joined us on the phone from Accra, Ghana.